We were not surprised when we caught the faint babble of men on the breeze. We had started picking up human signs a day earlier. A few tracks, a sapling stripped of bark to tie down something, a little glass jar that once contained Vic's vapor rub. We had to be within a few days of one of those lone bush villages. We followed the sound and we found this group of fishermen. It was an overcast morning and the breeze was fresh. It pimpled our skins where it was bare, but it did not deter the men. They were waist-deep in the water, and they could only manage short gasps of chattering from their cold, taut bodies. But they were happy with what they had managed to haul with the nets. They had hauled these painfully all the way from Lake Nyasa, probably. It was more than 200 kilometers away. The fish were migrants from the big river. They got stranded here when the dry season turned the little stream into a ribbon of sand and cracked mud, connecting a few pools. The fish were small, all of them. They hadn't had time to grow. This pool was fished too heavily for the population to be sustainable. Now, there were no crocodiles in the pool, although they often do get marooned too, and birds took some, kingfishers and herons and homocops and spoonbills and ducks, but not that many. It was mostly humans that fished. The village was probably getting too big. It was approaching the limits of what the bush could sustain. Already the number of men in the fishing party seemed rather high. Soon some would have to move to towns to find work. But what? They'd lived in the bush all their lives. But move they will, in the idyllic belief of plenty in that obscure world that lay beyond the fringes of their wilderness. First they will venture further than the small, middle-world villages that they know, to rural towns. There they will linger a bit, until desperation drove them on to the cities. And there they will likely end up sharing in the meagre income of some relative, or try to survive on the odd menial piece job. Or they will drift into crime, starting petty but then maybe bigger. Or they will turn to begging. Some will wander to the next town, the next city, the next country, and find the same. And slowly their misery will fester into discontent, and they will be ready to soak up the populist rhetoric of some self-centered radical. And the village, the bush will probably never recover sufficiently to support it again. It will bleed more and more able people to the modern world until only a few remained, mostly old people and children left in their care. They would be desperate souls, dependent on alms arriving along the tenuous links from migrant parents and relatives in distant towns and cities. And then the big business poachers might move in. They would recruit, supply guns if necessary, pay a pittance for horns and tusks and claws and tails and skins. Yes, a pittance, but to the villagers a fortune, a saving grace. And soon the poaching trade would gobble up the village until everyone and everything was dependent on it, connected to it. It is the story of Africa.